everybody out this evening. We want to welcome out our visitors that are with us this evening. Always thankful when we have visitors, and we hope that we've been encouraging you as we've gone throughout our songs, and certainly encouraging to us just to have you be with us. Always wonderful to be here with our brethren. As we go throughout our week, we make many decisions. Made decision to be here today. Tomorrow, if the Lord is long-suffering once more and continues his patience, tomorrow you'll have to make decisions. You have to make decisions as you get home tonight. And in all things, we have to choose a path following Christ or a path of the world. And what I want to ask and talk about this evening, take a short moment this evening to talk about, is asking the question, what made you do it? And to what caused us to even think in certain ways, or what caused us to go down such a path? Because we can get caught up in pointing fingers, get caught up in saying it's other people's faults. We can look to Genesis in chapter 3 and go to the beginning, look at Adam and Eve and see them point the fingers. Adam says, Eve, look at Eve, who you gave to me. Eve says, look at the serpent who lied to me. And so they point the fingers and say, look, it's their fault. Or we can, you know, look at Cain and just say, well, who's to blame at all, you know, and to the point of, well, am I my brother's keeper, and why should I know these things? And many go down the line. We talked about Saul recently as we continue our study in 1 Samuel. As Saul says, the people made me do it. I feared them, and so I kept these animals, and I kept the king. And so many ways in which we get caught up in going down that path. And we need to understand that there is sin in this world, and that we need to consider and ask that question, why do we get caught up in that though? I can feel a sneeze or something coming on, so if I stop for a moment, I'm touching it, it's what I feel a sneeze coming on, and it probably just won't go away, and I probably won't sneeze at all. And so I want to point out that there is sin, and we've been warned about it. We can open up our Bibles and we can read about sin. Revelation chapter 21. In verse 8. Revelation 21 in verse 8. Read a few common verses here. It says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire, brimstone, which is the second death. Again, as we read that verse there, and it's talking about those who are going to go into a lake of fire. And so you say, all right, there is a way in which people get to this lake of fire, and this is the list. It says the liars, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the murderers, the idolaters. And we say, why would anyone go down that path? They know that it leads to a lake of fire, that it leads to a path of eternal torment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and in verse 9, here it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Here's saying we won't be part of God's kingdom. That we shall not enter into the holy city. That we shall not enter into his kingdom. We are not part of his church when we go down these paths. Because the church is his kingdom. Those who enter into heaven are part of his kingdom, part of his church. And so we read this and it says, these are the things, these are those who will not be part of his kingdom, the unrighteous. And so again, we can read these things and look at them and say, why would we get caught up in those things if we know that such actions would cause us to not be part of God's kingdom, to call Christ our King, to call God our Father, to be able to be part of his church. Why would we do these things? Again, in Galatians chapter 5, here it lists them and talks about them as the works of the flesh. Works of the flesh. And so again, we look at the different titles and it lists these things, maybe different points brought out in different verses, but some of them are the same points as we talk about them. But why would we do them? Why would we get caught up in certain actions? Do we ever take a step back and say, why did I do that? Or get caught up and ask other people, why did they do that? And it's so easy. Again, we can go down that blame game. I think that's the most easiest thing to do so often. You get caught up and try to talk to children. Why did you get so mad? Why are you stomping your feet? Why are you throwing a fit? Why are you about to cry? And what makes you do this? Well, it's automatically, well, they did this. Well, yeah, they did this, but your reaction to it,
Why do we get angry? There's a reason that you're angry. There's a reason, whatever they did, whether, you know, one took your toy, whether it's, you know, you got caught up and, you know, you was an accident, there's a reaction. There's multiple ways we can react to situations. There's a reaction of joy. There's a reaction of sorrow. There's a reaction of being angry. And what we do with those emotions and how we react to them. Why do we do that? What is the source of that anger? What's the source of that joy? What's the source of us wanting a certain thing? So I just want to focus on the rest of the lesson this evening. Let's look at a few verses that talk to why we get caught up in these things. Why is it we do these things? Start with me in James. In James chapter 1 and verse 14. James chapter 1. And go ahead and start up in verse 13. Actually, start up in verse 12. James 1, and start in verse 12. As it reads here, it says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Again, here it says, "Blessed are those who endure temptation." As we go through trials and temptations, as we go through persecutions, here in James chapter 1, again, it tells us, count it all joy. You know, how do we react? As we go through these trials, as we go through these temptations, do we ever step back and say, you know, finally after it's all over, and say, thank God that I had gone through that because now I am stronger because of it and I got more character of it. I can help other people through it. Or do we just step back and say, why do I go through it? Why is it always me that has to go through it? I don't ever see anyone else go through it. There's different reactions in which, again, not that we actually sit up and say, haha, it's so fun, someone's making fun of me. Ha-ha, it's so fun, someone left me out. So fun because when of course, here in their time, and we're talking about they're being thrown in prison, they're being stoned to death, they're being whipped, and so it's not fun. Verse 13 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God." Why do we have these temptations? Why do we get caught up in lusting? Why do we get caught up in wanting to commit adultery? Why do you get caught up in even having such desires? It says, "Let no one blame God." Let no one blame God. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Why do we have these thoughts? Why do we commit these things? Why do we step back and try to draw that line and say, look, there's a fine line that I'm not crossing. Man, I can stand as close as... Why do we even want to stand near that line? Because of our desires. That's what it says here. Why do we have temptations? Why do we give in to sin? Because of the things we want. There's something down in our heart that is causing us to want it. Typically, as again, I use my children as the example, and I'm sure the same thing my parents could do to me when I was young with my brothers and sisters, and we get caught up. One wants a certain toy, and the other wants it also. One wants to build Legos, and he knows this one's going to break in or something, and he wants to do it by himself. He doesn't want them in the room. There's desire down in the bottom. Why are they making you mad? What are they doing? It's in my room. So, why are you mad because they're in your room? Were they hurting you? No. Were they breaking your toys? No. Why are you mad? There's a deep desire. There's something in his heart, in his mind, that is making him mad. It's the same thing for us as adults, too. As we get caught up and you're driving down the road, do you get a little bit of road rage? Do you get mad? Do you want to honk your horn? Do you want to yell at the person in front of you? You know, why do we act that way? There's a certain reason. There's some kind of desire in our mindset that is telling us to get mad. We need to get home. We're on a clock. There's a certain place we need to be. James chapter 4, again here, James chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss,
that you may spend it on your pleasures.
Here it goes forth and it says, why do we fight amongst ourselves? What causes these things to stir up? What causes us to go down this path? Our desires
for our pleasures.
Things that we think are going to make us happy. I will be happy when everybody else likes me. I'm going to be happy when I fit in with the cool kids. I'm going to be happy when I get that nice car. I'm going to be happy when I get the raise. I'm going to be... We got our desires. We have a mindset of what's going to make us joyful and give us pleasure and put us at ease. Too often than not, once we get there, we set another goal and we go higher and higher and we keep adding to it. The question we have to ask is it worth the risk to get there? And another question, is it lined up with the will of God? What do we want more? Works of the flesh, pleasures of the world, or the joy of being a faithful follower of God, the joy of knowing you have a home in heaven. And we'll finish up talking more about that here, here shortly. But it comes down to our desires. Actually, before we turn to Matthew, go ahead and read verse 4 with me here in James 4. James 4 and verse 4 says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Here, you know, talking about adultery and talking about that sexual and moral relationship, again, it goes right down that path as we're talking about why you get caught up in sin. Why would you commit this? Here, if you're an adulterer, it's not fornication. Adulterer, adulteresses, this means you're married. This means that one or the other person is married to somebody else. And so what causes you to go down this path? What is in your heart? What is in your desire? What are you trying to get out of this? And of course, it comes so close as we read those words and the similarity of idolatry. When we go down any other path of listing anything else in there, if we do not know that friendship with the world makes us enemies of God. Turn along with me to Matthew chapter 15, as our Lord speaks here in Matthew 15. Matthew 15, and in verse 18, it says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hand does not defile a man. Here they're going, whoa, you guys didn't wash your hands before you ate? And so here they're trying to get onto him. And Jesus says, you know what really defiles a man? What is in your heart? Because whatever is in your heart, whatever it is you desire to look and lust and you want something. Again, that lust, that is just a strong desire. We want to fit in. We want people to look at us. We want people to come to us. And so we're willing to risk sin, or we're willing to draw that line of how close we can get for people to like us. You know, people like me a whole lot better if I show them that I'm willing to miss services every now and then. I'm telling you, that's true. I can point it out when it came to school, when I played sports, and people ask me, why are you willing to miss practice or a game or sports? Last year, Josiah had to do it for him for baseball. It was during tournament season. The coach looked at me, you do it even during tournaments? He understood it during regular season, but this was a tournament game. You know, this is for the end of the season. I was like, well, this is going to show more to him how important it is to serve God. What is our desire? Desire to win a trophy, to be there with some friends. And again, I would have a good time watching the game. I would have a good time cheering them on, and I didn't like missing it. But what's the desire? What's in the heart? What comes first? Who comes first? What do we really desire? What is really in our heart? So we can go back to 1 John and look here in chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. the desires of the world, the lust of the world is passing away. You get caught up in the desires and lust of this world, and you get caught up in wanting to be like everybody else, wanting what everybody else has, and wanting to build up great houses and mansions and put all your stuff in there, and then build greater and build greater. And what? Pass away. And yeah. What is our desires? We step back and ask ourselves, why am I so angry? Why am I so upset? Why am I so sorrowful? There's something in our hearts that are telling us, that shows where our hearts are. And again, we can take that step back and say, well, do I ever get upset when I see sin? Because that's when God gets angry. When we read about God's anger, it's when there's sin in people's lives. Do we ever get mad about sin anymore? Or do we just get mad about the things we want, the things we desire, the things we have to have? God gets angry when people are sinning, when they go against His commands. Do we get mad when we go against His commands? Do we get upset with ourselves, knowing that we have disappointed our Father in heaven? Knowing that if we don't do something right away to make our lives right, that we are in jeopardy of having a home in heaven? Where our hearts are, there our desires are. And our hearts need to be in heaven. Turn along with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, I'm reading here in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is our treasure? What is the thing you desire? Again, it comes down to where our hearts are, what it is we want. What is it we're wanting? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Sometimes it's hard to figure out. You just take a step back and say, why did I get so upset about it? It's really not that big of a deal. Try to really look at our own hearts. Why would this cause me to be so mad? Why would this cause me to be mad over time? Why can't I get over this hump? Why can't I forgive? Why can't I be loving? It comes down to it. If there's something there, then there's something that needs to be changed. And to end tonight, if you will, turn with me. I don't have this up there, but turn with me to Romans chapter 12. If our hearts are in the wrong place, it means our mindset, our desires are in the wrong place. We're still about the will being about us. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. We have to change to the will of God. And that's what we read here in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to renew our minds. We have to change our hearts. When we first had our map, before we obeyed the gospel, before we became children of God, our X was over here and it was our mark. That's where our treasure was. That's where we was going to go dig. We were going to do what we have to get there. Our X needs to move. We need to forget about that mark. Because X marks the spot, right? Our X needs to be in heaven. That needs to be the spot. We need to be doing all that we can to get to heaven. That means changing our heart's desires to the will of God. To make it our full desires to please God, to serve Him, to get to heaven, and to help others get there. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If any is here and they need the prayers of the brethren, they need help to make sure that their mark is on the spot, that it is in heaven, that they are going to try and do all they can to keep that mark there, and that change their hearts and will to the will of God. Let us know what we can do to assist you. Let us know if you need to study, to pray, to have someone praying for you. If you're here, you know what your heart's desire is. You know that your desire is to go to heaven, but you have not yet been baptized. You have not yet obeyed the gospel. Let us assist you in doing that also. If there's anything we can do.